Fewer HVAC companies are truly family-owned these days, but Care still is. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Today, more and more companies are backed by venture capital firms, where profit goals often drive a sales-first culture. At Care, we operate with family values. That means honest recommendations, fair pricing, and technicians who are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. So for honest, fair service, call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
This is Winners and Sinners when we look back at the week that was with a few twists. This week, we're delighted to be joined by Ger Gilroy from Off The Ball and broadcaster Megan Scully. Megan, we might kick off with you first. Your winner of the week. I wonder what it might be.
Well, I'm wondering if you can notice the sweat around my face and the drips going down my back, but I'm not giving out. I'm not complaining. But it is, of course, the heat wave that we've been having all week. And yeah, I think, you know, it's just been... I don't know about the rest of you, but sleeping last night was
impossible.
A nightmare.
Yeah, it was.
It's just so uncomfortable. I'm not complaining, but it was...
It kind of sounds like you
are. Is this a winner? What are you actually saying?
No, I have to say, do you know what I got to do yesterday? I got to lie out in the park, and it was so lovely to be able to lie out in just a t-shirt and not have to have jumpers and layers. And now I did have a hat on to try to keep the sun out of my eyes, but it's just been so nice and see everyone out and about and people just in such a good mood. And that's, I think, it's most noticeable. Everyone's just happier.
I was sitting outside last night at 10:30 in a t-shirt, and in Ireland,
it was warm.
How
was
often
really warm.
Do you? I can probably count on one hand the number of times I've ever done that in Ireland. Like at that hour of the night, it was
lovely.
Still warm. It was absolutely beautiful. The sun was setting. It was still a bit of light in the sky, and you do actually. By the way, notwithstanding, we all know that Europe is frying and it's incredibly hot and it's all that, but our weather here. This is the weather we dream of, isn't it?
And it does feel like you're on holidays, because you know when you do go abroad and then, like you said, the sun sets and you can sit outside and you still feel warm, which it's been really enjoyable to do that. And I think, I know everyone's having to leave the doors and the windows open to try create a draft, but it's so nice then having that little cool breeze when the sun does set coming in. And I don't, just overall, like I've never eaten so much ice creams in all my life, and I don't even like ice cream. It's just a funny thing.
You're not wrong though, it does have a holiday feel, Jared, doesn't it? I remember years ago a friend of mine saying, we don't realise how lucky they are in other parts of the world where they have warm weather because they live differently.
Yeah, it changes your life.
And it's true.
Yeah. When you go on holidays, you're like, why do we live in the country that we live in where you can't actually enjoy your garden after like September for the rest of the year, and then it's a meadow come the end of May and you're allowed to cut it again? Look, you know, there is obviously a downside to all this. Should we...
Yeah.
Is it? You were talking about this during the week, but a pal of ours goes fishing in the Moy in Mayo, and it was nearly closed down because the water temperature was so high, the fish effectively fry in the water. That's not the technical term, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, it's so good. It's so nice. It's so nice. But we have to think about the other side of it.
We do.
We do. And climate change is real, and no one is denying that. But Ireland is not experiencing what France and Spain and Greece or Africa or other parts of Asia are experiencing. And even though we are expected to get warmer.
Not this week, but we have felt
warmer and wetter, I think we're going to get.
Storms and all that kind
of stuff. But this week, you got to count your, you know, I think you also have to count your blessings.
You have to live in this specific moment, because you never know when the world's going to tip into annihilation. Let's live for the now.
It's meant to break, I think, on Sunday, is it?
So Sunday.
I'm going racing Sunday, and apparently it's I have to have all areas covered, umbrellas and whatnot.
No, I'm with you though. I just think one of the greatest pleasures in life is the simple act of eating and drinking outside in warm weather.
Transformative, it really is. It does feel like you're driving around. So I was in Spain for 2 weeks when the weather was bad here, and coming home was like, oh, dreary and rain. And then I was like, actually, this place is amazing. When the weather is good, the place is amazing.
Yeah,
it adds something. And it adds something to our joy in a way, doesn't it? Like it does bring something.
Should we just all move to Spain?
Enriching.
You see,
Spain is a bit too hot now.
I wouldn't want to live in that heat.
But that's only for like 3 weeks of the year, right?
Oh, is it? I think it's more than
unfortunately,
that. September.
Or fortunately, depending on which way you are, a glass half full or glass empty, our weather is moving in the direction of Spain, it would appear. So you maybe don't have to move anywhere.
Well, fair enough. South of Spain
sit
now
tight.
Is 40-something degrees. I mean,
that's unbearable, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that is unbearable.
Once ever I was in Spain with 42-degree heat, And I was staying in a, very kindly, someone had lent me an apartment. It had no aircon and it had no pool, but it overlooked the beach. So okay. I was like, oh, it's going to be fine. But there was a jellyfish infestation and you couldn't get into the water in the south of Spain this particular summer. And between the heat and the not being able to get into the water, it was one of the worst times I ever the heat was unbearable. And you couldn't fall asleep till about 5 a.m. because it was about 33 degrees until about 5 a.m. When it went into the 20s, you would eventually drop off for about 4 hours. It was horrific.
The no sleep thing and the no aircon. Like the other side of this is the people with the A-rated houses who all year long are smug going, oh, I never even have to heat my house. Now it's they can't get the house cold enough to live in it. Well, look, you know.
Are they sweltering? Are they?
Apparently so, yeah. The house is brilliant at retaining all the heat, which is great.
Okay.
Apart from the 2 weeks of the year where the temperature hits 24
degrees. You just have to close all the curtains and the blinds.
But as we move to like the 18 weeks and the 26 weeks of the year here where it's
everybody
warm,
needs aircon, so buy shares in aircon
companies.
You
people like me who live in drafty old G-rated houses, we're laughing now.
So I think that's probably the first time ever we had winner slash sinner.
Yes.
In terms of...
We didn't really know where we stood on that one.
I think it's a winner.
It is a winner
for this week.
For us, for now, at the moment.
In the short term.
With caveats.
Sure, your winner.
So my winner is those people who are of a certain vintage who don't throw stuff out but who are football fans. So hoarders of old football shirts, because there's this mega trend which has been identified. It's slowly... So the explanation of it is bloke core. Does anybody know?
Bloke?
Was it bloke core? One of those things that the labels that get put on Gen Z fashion. I noticed this at... festivals over the last couple of years when Off the Ball goes, we were all together now last year, and there was a massive trend of everybody wearing football shirts from
kind of retro ones,
and some new ones,
and lots of Bose ones,
so Greta Thunberg obviously ahead of the curve and all this.
That's
but
really...
Kim Kardashian has been spotted wearing a Roma one recently and an Arsenal one, and somebody else, Dua Lipa, was wearing the Argentina one, so now the high fashion brands are producing tracksuits for €7,000 that are football shirts.
Oh, lovely.
And once that happens, you know, hey. But corresponding to this, you can go to Arnott's and Brown Thomas and buy a 1990 Ireland shirt for 250 or 350 or 400 quid if it's in good condition. I'm like, all right.
And are they actually are vintage ones? They're not just
proper vintage ones,
repro,
yeah.
Whatever.
They're all cheap. They're like, you can buy those at a reasonable price on the internet.
Vintage or what have you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but the fake vintage ones are all 40 to 70, 40 to 80 quid if that's your jam. But you can actually sell your original if you were in Euro 88, swilling beer and singing new app, Paul McGrath. That was the right one. And they're worth a fortune now.
Really?
They are kind of cool, though.
Oh, they're great.
They are.
And some people wear them so well. And like, with a brilliant, you can wear them with a brilliant outfit, so they do look fantastic. I have to say, I kind of like it.
I really like what you're wearing, Ger, and not only because I like it for what it is, but it has big nostalgia buzz for me, because Ger, for people who can't see him, is wearing
which is everybody except us,
maroon Adidas
Galway colour,
the classic, the original Adidas,
the tie hurlers as well,
the three stripes. It's the maroon one, but it's the three white stripes down the arm, tracksuit top with the little Adidas logo on the chest. And I had one of them when I was about 10, the exact same.
It would
only fit a 10-year-old. Like, and I had the tracksuit bottoms as well. And I thought at that time in my nylon Adidas tracksuit that I was actually probably the coolest thing ever. That was probably where I peaked, actually.
I got the matching tracksuit bottoms, but I'm not allowed to wear them together. My wife said, no way, you're going out in public wearing those together.
I used to wear them together. That was back in the 80s.
Acceptable for an 11-year-old.
But I think that retro look looks good
nowadays.
But I think if it was like, I don't know what it is, like we're talking about jerseys there. I don't know why, but when I see someone in like a jersey of now, when there's not an actual match on, it gives me the ick.
But
a retro jersey doesn't.
Does it depend on who's doing it? I think we have a lot to thank Paul Mescal for here too, because even if Dua Lipa and Kim Kardashian all us, he did make the O'Neill shorts and the Kildare Ga tops and his silver chain kind of cool, like, because he is very fashionable. Like he wears a suit like no one else. He really does. So I think he probably is somebody who was part
Definitely.
Of this, the start of this trend.
Yeah, there is a classic football shirts shop opening up around the corner from here, isn't
it? Yeah, it's just brand new. It was the property had been empty for ages. And I was very much wondering what's going to go in there. Will it be a restaurant or another coffee shop from a chain? And it's like right on trend right at the moment. Haven't been in yet. I think it might only be open in the next week or so. Is
I
it?
Think so. Yeah. I haven't seen it open. I just saw the
And will they be actual vintage ones?
Yeah, I presume so.
I was in a vintage football jersey shop in Edinburgh because I have three lads, and when you go away, sometimes you bring them home something and you're trying to find. The most interesting thing about it was the older the shirt, the more expensive they were. Yeah. Like when I was back in the 70s looking at things, I don't even know, like Dundee or something, whatever it was, little clubs. And they were like £150. They were the dearest things in the
I
shop.
I wonder where those shirts come from, because
I don't know.
Like, the jerseys weren't, replica jerseys weren't a thing back in the 70s.
So they may well be worn, they may well be from someone's
From the
attic.
Players.
Yeah. It's like, many of the players who we would talk to at various stages, like, oh, all my stuff is up in the attic. It's like, now is the time to clear it out. Get like, up there, empty it out.
When I was 11, I got an Ireland kit for Christmas. It wasn't an Ireland kit. It was a green top with a white collar.
Yeah.
And there was no
emblems or anything.
There was no emblems. It was just, and white shorts and green socks. But like, so there wasn't.
I have a vision of such a cute little Shane Coleman now.
I was incredibly cute. I'm not going to lie.
I bet you were.
I thought it was I wore it every day for like 2 years.
Incredible value for money.
We definitely didn't. We were not about fast fashion back in the 70s and the 80s. You held on to everything forever. And it was repaired half the time
as
well.
And handed down.
Yeah, I kind of like that as a winner. Now, you're very welcome back to Winners and Sinners. Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball is still with us, as is journalist Megan Scully. And we're going to go to our sinners portion of the evening. Ger, what is your sinner?
These people giving the Scotland fans backlash for being the Scotland fans, they can F-R-O in the polite parlance of...
I like F-R-O.
Well, come on. There's like... there's just this way too cynical. It's like, oh, Scotland fans, aren't look at them looking for outside validation from the Americans who think they're brilliant and amazing for taking over Boston and having fun and enjoying themselves in public. Who do they think they are?
And is like, this backlash on. Against the Tartan Army, is this by any chance coming from English fans?
Who is this
coming from?
There's a bunch of columnists who are like, oh, this is try hard. It's pathetic. Why are they doing this hunting for love from random foreigners? I'm like, so essentially my antenna was up for this because Ireland fans are brilliant at tournaments.
Yeah.
And then there's immediately a, oh, look at them. Look at them going and enjoying themselves and singing songs together and serenading the policemen.
And not fighting and not causing any trouble and being liked by people who they meet.
Did we talk about this last week? The Scottish fans singing at the baseball game. They sang. No. So the Boston Red Sox are having an all-time bad season. So there's loads of tickets available and the Scotland fans all got tickets. And in the middle of it, yes, sir, we can boogie all night long came on. And the Scotland fans have adopted this over the last decade or so. Very random story about that one. But the whole place stood up and started singing and it turned out like thousands and thousands and thousands of Scotland fans were there. And the baseball fans were like, what's this stuff? And it was brilliant. And then they drank all the pubs dry and they had a great time. There was no trouble.
There is no trouble.
And people are like, oh, look at them. Oh, it's try hard. Oh, they're showing off to get clicks. And they're not. They're not.
Just having a good laugh.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just think there's a lot of cynicism about this stuff.
It's awful to see. Like, and I remember when I was at the World Cup in France, and I remember when Ireland played Scotland. When the Irish fans and the Scottish fans came together, it was the most magical moment because everyone was having so much fun. Oh, it was just brilliant. And we were all singing anthems and we were all singing with each other and we were singing Scottish songs and they were singing Irish songs and everyone was just having a really good time.
Yeah, we are like cousins or something, aren't we? The Scots and the Irish in some kind of way. It's sort of a kindred spirit.
Celtic
I haven't
brothers.
Seen this backlash, but part of me does this very xenophobically suspects this is an English thing because the English fans are not particularly liked wherever they go, it would appear.
That's definitely part of it. But there's part of every country where there's always one or two who are like, wow, we're showing ourselves up in the, oh, we're drinking too much and this is a bad, and you're like, oh yeah, okay, right, fair enough. It's the celebration police.
I love the story about the, you know, the Japanese fans who clean up after them in every stadium. But there was a backlash. Have you heard about the backlash against them?
Yes.
There's a backlash in Japan against them from Japanese women who are saying, yeah, that's great. They're cleaning up the stadium. But Japanese men are terrible when it comes to household chores. They do not do their fair share.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Oh, they were getting serious stick about this. So
This is very surprising to me that there's backlashes against anybody who's well behaved. Like the Japanese sound like they're very socially conscious minded.
Well, this backlash came from
and the Scots sound like they're just great crack. And that sounds very odd.
Yeah, the Scottish fans are brilliant crack. I must look up that video. It didn't do anything to turn around the Red Sox game.
No, I don't think so. I think that might be a lost cause.
The Tartan Army are a little bit like the Irish fans. They kind of do know that they're a bit loved. They kind of believe people like them in the same way we believe people like us. We always go, everyone loves us everywhere we go.
And you know what?
Like, there's truth in it.
You do lean into that as an Irish fan. But, we've been away on Irish trips. And you do lean into that. But is that a bad thing?
No.
Because it just means everybody is conscious of their responsibility to behave well. And that's, how can that be a bad thing?
It's the culture is self-policing and kind and you have a good time. And when you get to the ground, the police are actually aware of the fact that you have a reputation for being well behaved. And that really helps. And,
it does.
You
know,
they're not expecting trouble.
There's less edge. If you see
some of the police forces across Europe, that is a good thing to have.
Definitely.
They're not to be trifled with.
No.
But with Boston Wonder being so heavily Irish, I'd love to know how many Irish fans are actually in the middle of the Scots when all the singing and dancing and... and crack is going on.
Yeah. Well, apparently there's been loads of stories that American women are falling for the Scots big time with their and that they're hamming up their accents and everything. People who aren't Scottish are suddenly going, "Hoots, man," and all this kind of business to try and cash in on some of this this allure.
These American guys wearing kilts to try and pass themselves off,
calling
as
themselves
Scottish.
Douglas and things like that. Hamish,
fifth generation.
Megan, give us your sinner of the week.
Oh, kind of after what we were just speaking about, it's kind of the opposite side, and it's kind of out of a bit of concern as well. It is obviously, again, I know I mentioned with the heat wave, it was my winner, but it's the underage drinking that's been taking place, and I witnessed it there recently, just this week, and I kind of was a little bit taken aback by how young they were, and to be drinking quite strong spirits. Like I saw very young girls with like naggins of vodka, and I actually overheard one of them saying they were 14, and I was like, that is so young. Now I know underage drinking.
Was this on the beach or something?
This is on the way to the beach on the dirt, and they were playing music out loud and singing out loud, and I wouldn't usually be intimidated by youngsters at all. I've a lot of young cousins, so I kind of...
You are a youngster, Megan, in fairness to us.
Well, I have teenage cousins, so I kind of understand. I feel like I understand teenagers a little bit.
Yeah.
And I used to work at a youth radio station, so I feel like I had a bit of a connection to them. I actually felt really intimidated, and I was kind of afraid to make eye contact in case any of them said anything. And they were vaping as well on the dirt, which I don't know if you're allowed to vape on public transport.
I don't think you are.
Like
And nobody was going to say anything because I think everyone felt intimidation. And there were some people who were more of a mature age actually sitting right beside them. I'd say they were sitting there first and the girls came in around them. And they're all just roaring and shouting. And I don't mind people having a good time, but it was kind of, they were singing songs, really not great songs. And they weren't just singing along. No, I love a sing song. When the fans sing, I love singing along. But this was, they were purposely roaring
Were they attempting to put their stamp on this dart carriage, as in we're going to do whatever the hell we want here and no one's going to argue with us because there's loads of us and we feel the wind is at our backs in this setting?
Absolutely. And I kind of looked at my friend and I was kind of thinking, should we move down to the other carriage? Because I actually felt uncomfortable. And I was afraid in case I made eye contact with one of them, in case they said anything to me. And I was trying to look. And you know when you know you shouldn't look at someone, you're kind of... And then I was trying to awkwardly look out the window. And then we all got off the dart together. We all made our way down. And it was like being... It reminded me of my Leaving Cert holiday in Santa Ponsa when I got to the beach. I looked around and I said, oh, I feel like I'm... And I was like, I wasn't really in the mood for joining them. So we just actually turned and left and went somewhere else because it was too...
What beach
were
you going to?
I was about to ask you, what beach
were
you going
to? Was it Burrow Beach?
Sandy Cove.
Sandy Cove on the south side, right?
Yeah, it was really busy. And then I moved up towards...
I'd say it isn't just Sandy. I'd say Burrow Beach and Sandy Cove and all the Dublin beaches. I was on Bray Beach last Sunday and it was mobbed. I mean, it was mobbers. And great that it was because it's a beautiful day and isn't it nice that we're having good weather and all that kind of stuff. But I think all the beaches are full of people. 14 is young.
I thought that was just too young. Like I understand people break. I took a pledge and I may have broken my pledge a little bit younger, but not that young. And I remember, I think I was 17 when I broke my pledge, which is probably unusual for, you know, young people. But like usually even at that, it was cider or, I don't know, like West Coast Coolers and those really kind of light alcohol. Yeah. And Smirnoff Ice, it was all the alcohol pops. But when I saw them with naggins of vodka, I thought that's a bit strong.
Here's the thing though, and maybe this is getting a bit heavy. Like, is that the example we as adults show them? I mean, is it understandable? Because every occasion in Ireland is celebrated with drink and probably excessive drink. So are we, unfortunately, setting a really bad example?
Possibly. And then are we kind of, as in no one was going, like, I don't know, the parents may not have known where they were because they were gone during the day. So maybe they didn't realise they were going to be drinking and maybe they'd be fine by the time they got home in the evening. But it kind of was a concern.
As a parent, you kind of worry about them drinking more with the underage kids in the evening than in the day. Do you know what I mean? So they go out in the day, you think, it's probably fine. I kind of want them out. I kind of want them doing things. I think going to the beach is a great thing, blah, blah, blah. But you worry about them going out at night. You think, oh God, I wonder what they're up to. But as you say, that was in the middle of the day and they're drinking.
So young, I thought, just be drinking that hard drinks. And they were drinking, there was like other cans as well. And I just thought, they actually had, what's that one, that can? It looks like Monster, but it's actually got alcohol in it. Four Loko. And yeah, we used to have that on our J1, and that was like, that's really strong. And I don't would never touch that, because I remember having it on my J1 thinking, I'm never touching that again, because it was...
speaking of not getting too heavy or getting too heavy, but just, there's lots of conversations this week about the legalisation and the decriminalisation of drugs. Obviously, the committee has said that we should decriminalise for personal use. A lot of pushback from politicians. But the two drugs that we have the biggest health issues with are cigarettes and alcohol. And that is because they are legal, because that makes them much more widely used. And I think we should remember that, because that is just a statement of fact, that they are the ones that actually cause the most issues in society and cost us the most in many different ways in society. And that's because they're legal, because there will be some people put off by the fact that drugs... Not everyone is obviously put off by the fact that drugs are illegal, but some people are, and that is a sort of a filter. But I'm not sure how many people are interested in hearing that.
What is the age where you're allowed to drink spirits? Is it 16 that we all think? That's grand, you know, because it's... and is it certain 14-year-olds who definitely shouldn't and others? Like,
well, I don't want to see anyone under 18 drinking spirits.
You know, but they're going to, right? So, like... Yeah. I'm a 14-year-old. I'm like, let's have a little...
Oh, am I going to get kids in trouble now?
Some questions this evening. Going, we just heard about this.
I think it's important to have the conversation.
Totally. I don't know where they're getting the... maybe it's not that hard to get alcohol, because it is
really not that
everywhere,
hard.
Like every supermarket.
They
in
have
country.
Older siblings, older friends. There's always someone who will get it for them.
Yeah. I don't know. On the decriminalisation of the drugs thing, like, I think we need to do better at dealing with people who have become addicted. And I'm not sure what the answer to that is. I think that there's probably an element of the softer drugs that it could be decriminalized. And but then maybe that's not good either. Maybe actually the kids who are smoking the high-grade weed that you're getting in the UK are having psychotic episodes at a higher rate than they ever did before. And maybe there's not enough data on that just yet. So definitely a conversation worth having.
Yeah, it is. I remember when my eldest now is 26, but I remember when he turned 14 and realising I was going to have to deal with all those kinds of issues. And I really felt, and I've gotten way more relaxed. Like, my youngest now is 17, and I'm practically horizontal. I'm so relaxed in my parenting, which may not be a good thing, but I am. It's just, it kind of happens over the course of your children's lives. But I remember when my eldest turned 14, being feeling really threatened by the fact that all this was coming. I felt it was all coming for him. Like alcohol was coming for him. Drugs were coming. They're all coming for him. And as a parent, up until that point, I felt I had been able to protect him from most things, you know, that were threatening. And suddenly he was going to have an independence and a whole other world.
And you have to let go of that control.
That is a teenage thing. So, yeah. But look, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. The last bit of the show.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Okay, welcome back. You are still listening to Winners and Sinners. Ger Gilroy and Megan Scully are still with us. Megan, give us your any other business for the week.
Is everyone's passport up to date? Is your passport fresh, new? Can you renew it soon? I think I have a few years left in mine, which I'm actually kind of raging.
Got a couple of years yet.
Yeah. I kind of wish mine was ready to be renewed, because we're getting a new kind of updated passport. Now, it'll still be the lovely burgundy colour, Galway colours, but...
Ger's top colour.
Ger's top colour, your top that you're in 10. But what it's going to have inside now is an Irish wolfhound, which I think is so symbolic of Ireland. It's such an amazing dog. The first dog we had in our home house was a wolfhound. My dad's family used to breed them.
They're so big.
So big, and they're just spectacular looking. And it's going to have all this new kind of ink and stuff, so that'll be like more sustainable. And they're trialing some new things in these in the passport, which will be kind of a first for passports in the world. And they're using Irish passports, so hopefully in the next while, when people start renewing their passports, you'll suddenly see this gorgeous Irish wolfhound and a kind of like a torque as well. So very, very symbolic of Ireland and our culture. And then you zoom in on the pages, and there'll be like pictures of maybe like wildlife and foraging, and kind of a lot of Irish symbolism in the little kind of coloured booklets.
Interesting.
It's I'm looking at it now. It is absolutely beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It's really nicely done. And really unusual and quite unique. So yeah, I think it's fabulous. I think it looks really good.
Obviously. Can we, any of us without Googling it, can we picture what's in there at the moment?
I was going to ask, I have no idea. There's something funny. I remember somebody's like, oh, I'm in the, is Michael D in it? Is Sinead O'Connor? There's some lyrics of Sinead O'Connor or something?
I thought it was illustrations from the Book of Kells, but somewhere I haven't Googled it. I don't know. And so that's why I was kind of going, we're all saying, oh, this new one is amazing. But sure, what was there before? We don't even know, do we?
And
there's some poetry. There's definitely some poetry running over from one page into the next, I think. But I couldn't tell you. And I've looked at it a million times.
Yeah.
I could tell you what stamps I have in it because I know what stamps are there.
There's also the question, do we really need passport books anymore? Because I do have, I think, 2 stamps in my passport. But mostly, no matter where you go now, they don't stamp them. So is there a point to them being a booklet?
If you get any of the American visas, the working visas or those, that's like a page that they glue on.
That's the ones I have, because we've obviously worked over there, all of us with the station.
The show, yeah. Other than that, I don't think those are.
I have a working journalist visa for Turkey too, because I had to get one to go there to do for News Talk as well.
In the old days, you used to get every country you went to, you'd get the stamp on it. Yeah. But now that happens. So, I mean, the States, obviously, you mentioned you get, but it's quite rare.
Yeah, none of the European countries, they're like, are you Schengen or not? You're like, oh, another queue.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I used to love the old green passport.
Yeah, I like the old green one too.
Obviously, we're part of the world.
We are, yeah. And, you have to give that up.
You have to embrace it and all
or,
that.
Or, you know, you could vote for our exit. You could be one of those. I get our old green passports back.
Oh, yeah, that was a big Brexit thing. Yeah. We want our own passports. That's a terrible impersonation.
How's that working out in the airports now?
They do not like the fact as we skip by them. Your any other business, Ger?
Great piece from Eamonn McGlysett on the Journal giving out about the fact that school holidays haven't started yet and already the back-to-school uniforms are in the shops at the moment. And she's like, oh my God. What are you
totally
doing?
Just give us a week at least.
Yes. I give us more than that. I actually hate seeing them. And I don't even, like, hate seeing them appear. Hated them when I was a kid seeing them appear, but also hated them as a parent seeing them appear. Like, we all know we have to go back to school. We all know we have to go. Do they have to beat us over the head with that?
Is it not the world of fashion, though? They're always kind of a season ahead. Is it just like all types of clothes?
She's making the point that that's basically all modern life at the moment. Easter in January, Halloween in July, Christmas in August. She said in May of this year, I was almost felled by the sight of a cozy season jumper a friend had spotted in Penny's and posted on her Instagram stories.
It's true. I mean, you've got your Christmas tree up already.
I just never took it down. I accept that the fashion thing moves on very fast and we're always the next thing and the next thing. And Valentine's Day, you literally move from one event to another. I get all that. But there's something horrible about wishing your summer holidays away. Yeah. And that's the problem with the back to school, because we all, not just the kids, the parents long for the summer holidays too. They also... you know, have to get up at 7 o'clock with their kids for school and do all that stuff too. So we all get a bit of a reprieve in the summer. It's nice. It's more relaxed. Even if your kids are going to camps or it's just more relaxed. And then to be like, oh, back to school. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
get it now.
Stop. Yeah. It actually upsets me.
You need that last week of panic and rushing, going, oh, I have no shirts or I have no socks or I have no school shoes.
Nothing wrong with the night before school starts.
Yeah.
Up to Tesco.
Like, by all means, maybe wash it this evening. It's all finished now, isn't it? I say tonight will be very busy. All the teachers will be out.
There's I'm sure. But there's a couple of days next week for our kids. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Schools
have started. Like, I know kids who finished yesterday. So it's
starting to happen, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But that wider point, though, and look, we do increasingly
live. The next thing.
You know, Christmas is over and the Easter eggs are in the shops, like almost the next day, you're going, oh, lads.
I think it might actually be practically the next day.
Yeah, I think it is. And Halloween, people have their Halloween decorations up in September.
There's Christmas decorations up. There was Christmas, I remember talking about Christmas decorations up last year before Halloween. So Halloween hadn't happened.
Yeah,
there was a weird mishmash of Halloween and Christmas decorations all at once. It was like some weird
Tim Burton movie.
Yeah, dystopian. Yeah. I was thinking of Tim Burton, dystopian.
Can we not just live in the moment?
I don't know. I wish we could. I mean, the weather's great today.
Yeah, living in the moment. Not thinking about global warming.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think about the clouds fried breaking fish. And the rain. Although I know parts of the country had awful thunderstorms and. But, you know, let's just enjoy it for now.
Done a beautiful symmetry there. We've gone right back to the
full
beginning.
Circle.
So it's probably a good note on which to finish. Megan and Ger, thanks so much for joining us. That's our lot for today, Ciara.
It absolutely is. But we will be back with the Hard Shoulder on Monday at 4. But other than that, enjoy the weather. Have an amazing weekend.
Come on, Bulls. Tuarara, August, Togabogay.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk.
conversation that counts.